Stevie Wonder with Higher Ground. This is from his 1973 album, Inner Visions. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today, we're going to begin a series consisting of four parts. Today would be the first part. We're going to review the Donald Trump impeachment saga as we see it. We're not asking you to incorporate anybody else's reports. We want you to participate on the basis of you having your own opinion about it. But I don't want us to just rant. I want us to come at the subject from a perspective that we've been covering all along. This is a unique president, and his behavior is unique, and these developments are kind of unique, even for impeachment in the United States. Previous impeachments had to do with, how should I say, regular, normal presidents. This is the first impeachment of a most unusual character as a president, and it brought a lot of things that somehow managed to escape inquiry, managed to escape input in media coverage of this whole debacle. So we're going to do it in four sessions. One, which starts today. Today's installation will be titled The Beginning. And then after that, we will have three others. The middle, I know, how predictable, right? The beginning, the middle, the end, and then the final chapter, the aftermath. We're looking at this development, this political development, this historic development, with a different political sensibility. We're not going to follow the standard line, because we never do anyway, but it is important for us to understand this in a context that we can appreciate. It is not being covered at all so far. It's not covered at all. It's covered as a regular news story, and that is where the problem is. So the Senate yesterday delivered its verdict in the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump, exonerating him, as predicted, of all charges contained in two articles of impeachment that were voted against him on December the 18th. The Senate's verdict wiped away accusations that the president had abused the power of his office and had blocked attempts by Congress to investigate several instances in which he allegedly did just that. So now the trial is concluded, but of course it isn't. There's a lot more to know and a lot more to discuss. And for the reason of providing added perspective to this historic event in the lives of the United States of America. So we will undertake this review, and we will do it according to your, or I should say our, because I have to throw myself into this too, our unique perspectives. and raising issues that so far have not been raised and that would more than likely not be part of the accounting of things. Because we will get the standard white bread interpretation of what has happened here. But there is so much more, so we should appreciate as many dimensions of it as possible. So that's where we're going to go. And we can start right away with your calls at 888-874-4888. I will ask you the question, a question, as soon as you get on the air. It is vitally important that a record be created that presents a different interpretation. Whether people agree or disagree with it is really not our concern. Our concern is to plumb the depths of your understanding about this event. And what we come up with is a composite of a different point of view. And it is very sorely needed, because all we're getting is standard major media interpretations of what's going on. So the first question I would like to ask you is, how did you interpret the beginning of this saga? How did it hit you? What was in your mind? What were you told or informed of as the reason that the whole country was going to go through this rather traumatic event? Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Latrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
You know me and my phones. We're still here. Hanging in there, hanging in there.
Still hanging in by your thumbs. Every
time you
say that, I picture in my head what that must look like.
Well, I'm a quite sizable individual, so, be that as it may. The question that you posed, how this first struck me, I've said it to you before, I really honestly believe that this whole thing is a setup between the two major parties, which are basically two sides of the same coin, to keep this guy in office. And I tell you why. From the initial, this man has a criminal history. From the time he was a candidate till he number gamed himself into winning the election through the corruptness of the Electoral College, which is another subject entirely, but I'm not going to digress. This has always been, he's portraying the boogeyman. He's what the powers that be can blame everything on and distract us from what's really going on. So I always looked at this as a shell game. I grew up in the streets. I grew up in Southeast Queens in the projects coming up. And game, no game. And this is a game. This has been a shell game on the people from the time of his inauguration till now. And these
so
are all just parts.
You don't believe that the Democratic Party had sincere intentions of really tackling the issue of Donald Trump's alleged criminal acts?
None at all. None at all. He's got legitimate criminal acts. He's got viable, provable, factual impeachment acts from his criminal enterprises with his fraudulent meat, his fraudulent school, his failure with casinos. The man has a history of con and chicanery, and it was totally ignored. I mean,
you can't expect them, because now he's president. He's no longer the head of a very suspect university. and other businesses that went south. He is now the president, and it is on that basis that he's being charged. He's being charged with criminal acts that accrued under his watch as president of the United States. So you have to be even more focused here now and figure out how do you relate to that?
There were obvious criminal acts that were totally ignored, the Emoluments Clause. I mean, that was a clear criminal act. He made profit while president of the United States through his hotels and and his resorts.
Okay, well, now we got to go back. You have to backtrack a little bit in order to tackle that question, because the articles of impeachment had never mentioned the Emoluments Clause.
Well, the articles of impeachment are broad, they were given a broad scope. It goes to high crimes and misdemeanors or acts that would basically, I'm paraphrasing, besmirch the credibility of the presidency.
They did not include the Emoluments Clause. They said he abused his power as president, and the second cause of action against him was that he obstructed Congress in trying to get to the facts of the case that they made. They alleged that the president and his administration, president primarily, caused there to be an impediment, that they could not get what they needed to get, documents, records, and so forth, testimony from witnesses and so forth, that the president obstructed Congress in its effort to do its work.
Well, he did. He gave direct instructions to some of his members of his cabinet not to testify. He gave, it's documented. He gave direct instructions to the attorney general, who's supposed to be the attorney general, supposed to represent the people, not the president general. I mean, it was obvious. There were obvious things that could have been brought to the head. And if you listen very carefully, you'll hear the sound of a hair splitting, because that's what they did. They splitted hairs with this. They presented the most specious arguments they could for impeachment that left the hole wide open for him to run through. And the sad part about it is that his defense team didn't even run through it well. I mean, that argument that was presented by Cosmo was absolutely ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just the whole thing, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. The whole thing was rotten. And it wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't a sincere effort to do anything to him other than to confuse you. And then we must look at the other things that went on. The appointment of Supreme Court judges, the opening of preserved lands that were protected under certain acts, the changing of laws, the complete disruption of certain protections, the taxes codes that changed, all of these things that the powers that be wanted to be done, the executive orders, he's doing exactly what they want him, what the powers that be want him to do, i.e. the stock market is doing so well. The stock market
Let's get very specific.
Yes.
What are you saying about the Democratic Party, because it was the party that undertook the effort to impeach the president? What are you saying about their effort to impeach the president?
Their effort was non-existent. And this was just a game to distract the public as to what is really going on, to distract the public as to the changes that are taking place under this administration. Not only that, but also the precedents that are being set for the next president that comes up. If he doesn't do another term, the precedents that have been set, the things that have been violated, the standards that have been compromised, this is deep, and it's going to run long and hard until the people really wake up and decide to take take matters into their own hands under any cost. But the Democratic Party was a joke with this thing. It wasn't all right. A sincere effort at all.
Okay. Well, quite a list of accusations there, but it's your observation, and we have to honor your observation and ask you the questions that would help you, you know, further explain what your position is. So to summarize, you say this was a game. This was all a game.
Yes.
You say that it was, as you put it, a setup between the two parties to distract people from really getting close to what should have been paid attention to.
Yes.
You said that they made specious arguments.
Yes.
The Democrats did in the charge. All right. Well, I mean, and you said that it was all about keeping Donald Trump in office, that the Democrats and Republicans somehow came to an understanding that that should be the end game, to keep him in office.
Listen, Donald Trump, I'm not saying keep Donald Trump is the status quo. He is the representation of all the corruption that has taken place from Reagan in my lifetime, from Reagan up until now, and possibly before Reagan if I dig as a novice historian. The bottom line is the Democrats and Republicans have been roughly on the same page in this country for the past 40 years, screwing over the common man in general. And he's just a personification. He does it outrightly because he's the personification of unexcellence and stupidity, but he's allowing them to do what they've been doing for each other for years during the Clinton administration and even during the Obama administration. And nothing is really changing. The fundamental things, health care, jobs, the economy, housing, poverty, those issues are not being addressed. And if you take any type of poll, those are the issues that people want to talk about. All of this is just trivial banality to feed. Even now that he's on at 12 o'clock gloating, which I thought he was going to do when he gave the State of the Union, but now he's on at 12 o'clock in the afternoon gloating. Who's at 12? Who's home at 12 o'clock watching television? People who ain't working. People who, you know, retired people, his base. So, I mean, it's a farce. It's a joke. And we need to wake up and get these
problems right.
out.
Well, you got to start it in a vigorous way. That's for sure. 888-874-4888. We're tackling a review of what was just concluded with the exoneration of President Trump of the two articles of impeachment with which he was charged, principally by the Democrats. And we're reviewing it from a particular perspective, that perspective being your perspective on what happened here. It's all over now. The legal combat is over. And now we can go back to the case and revisit the case and come up with some ideas of what happened. How did this whole thing start up? What was communicated at the start? What issues did you see from the start? And do we have any reason to be comfortable with the conduct of the trial by the Democrats? Well, and we also have to talk about the conduct of the president and his, members of his administration in all of this. So we're looking at the case from that perspective. 888-874-4888. This is the first chapter, the first of four chapters that we'll tackle, retitling this The Beginning, how this whole thing seemed to you to have started. And did it immediately cause you to have some concerns about it? What were those concerns? Did you see or feel that it was an even-handed effort? Was there any effort to produce a fair, so-called fair trial? All of these things we can now review and talk about from your perspective. It is not important whether you think people will agree with you or won't agree with you. It is important simply to offer your perspective. And you'll see at the end of it what the general feeling was as the trial got started. All right. Ooh, I just pressed something and made something disappear. I do this kind of stuff all the time. Okay, here we are. We're right back on track. 888-874-4888. Why are you so shy today? I thought people would be burning up the lines trying to figure out how to get said what they need to get said. But you're kind of shy today. And it's mind-boggling, actually. We're looking to you to fill in the gaps. And you seem a little bit reluctant, a little skittish. Did it get to you? Did they get to you? Did they truly, as Ed from Queen says, did they truly distract you? Did they grab your mind? Did they cause you to think different things than you would normally think? I don't know. 888-874-4888. This is really important because we have to put on record that people have specific opinions about this. And whether people agree or don't agree, the fact is they have specific opinions about it. Moki from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi. I thought I'd wait a little longer, but I kind of want to get to the point before we get any farther afield from the central issue as to the inception of this. How did it start? So in Chapter 1, I made an observation at the beginning, and nothing that has transpired since the beginning and nothing about the outcome has changed my initial impression. I remember saying something to the effect.
Okay, well, get to the topic. Get to the issue. I'm getting that you're putting together an overview, but we want you to get right to the point.
All right, the point is, why did this happen? This happened because he stepped on the toes of the Democratic elite. Had the business about Biden and his son not come out, everything would have just traveled smoothly, status quo. He upset the apple cart. He pointed to something that everybody's guilty of, including the Republicans. He could have pointed to, the Republicans didn't, it's all about what you said, protecting Biden and slapping him on the wrist. You better not point out anyone else's indiscretions because we're all guilty of them. We don't like anyone focusing on these things. People are going to start connecting the dots. It's all about slapping him on the wrist and giving him a warning. Don't point out stuff we're all guilty of. Don't do that again.
But is that all it is?
I think so. I mean, my strong impression is nothing would have happened had this business about Biden not come up, Biden and his son. Nothing would have happened. Status quo. That's the only thing that upset the status quo. So I have to support your hypothesis that this was about protecting Biden. So it was a totally partisan action. And of course, not just his base, but the entire Republican. I mean, how many Republicans voted to impeach him or voted to convict? I don't know. But it was a foregone conclusion with me that the Republicans were not going to do anything to support this Democrat, this partisan action. which, you know, what they did was completely eviscerate the authority and power of the impeachment process by making it a partisan issue. But that's why it started. Biden and his son, that is exactly why it started. They did, and they said, hey, you can't do that.
But how much proof do you have of that?
I'm only going by the proof. The proof is that he was exonerated.
No, and that it was about Biden.
Too general. The charges were all too general. You want me to state a specific charge that I think he should have been brought up on? Launching missiles, what was it, 49 or 59 missiles? On a totally baseless, evidence-free assumption that was made about a chemical attack. I heard him say, oh, the babies, you know, putting on that, oh, the poor babies. Totally unilateral, without consulting me or the Congress. He just launched a bunch of missiles based on a myth. And I think that I can point to lots of proof that the chemical attacks were a myth. That alone.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for contributing today. Henry from Chicago, how did this all start in your view?
Greetings, Jatrice. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm okay. I want to echo some of the sentiments that the previous two callers had in regards to their thoughts, but I wanted to add something else to it. This whole thing, and I think most of us who are at least have some clue of the political climate knew that this was going to be a farce. So, you know, my first question was, why are they doing this? Why are they spending millions of dollars per day to put on this farce? And I think it just comes down to they just want to make sure that they want to keep the public to understand that that there's a difference between Democrats and Republicans. But we all know that there is no difference between the two, that they want to put on a show that, you know, that there is an actual fight going on in Congress where the fight is not with Congress, it's with Congress and the people. So they put on this show to show us that, hey, there's an actual thing going on between us where actually there is, you know, nothing, you know, really going on. It's just basically a show. The real fight is with, you know, the people, you know, of this country against the politicians who kind of cater to, you know, the upper class.
But don't you, how do you justify your position based on what you've just said? Okay. But what gives you confidence in making that argument?
Well, I think a lot of, well, you know, since Donald Trump has been inaugurated as president, a lot of focus has been on him. And, you know, you got the Democrats who basically kind of, you know, kind of focus all of the problems in this country solely on him. And we all know that a lot of these problems have been around way before he became president, way before he ran for president. And it takes a lot of pressure off of the Democrats it takes a lot of responsibility off of the Democrats when they have, you know, I think with Ed had called it, you know, their boogeyman. And we all know that there are very few people within Congress that truly believed earlier in his administration that this guy was a criminal. I mean, you bring this out a lot with Al Green, who, you know, brought up articles of impeachment like 2 years ago, but nobody acted on it. So we all know that this guy's a criminal, and there are actually some people, very few people, within Congress who understand this. But because of the fact that the Democratic Party as an overall party did not support Al Green 2 years ago, that right there proves that they're in on this. They're in on this scam. And I think the reason why they did this sham trial is, and I agree with Ed again, to keep Donald Trump in office, because it was basically a win-win. So let's just say, for the far-fetched idea that he did get impeached. Okay, well then, now Pence becomes president, and I believe that he would be reelected as president, and now you got 8 years of Pence coming down the line. So I think they did this so he can serve out his, you know, his 2 terms as president, so they can get their guy in 2024.
How about this? They had a plan, but it backfired. Any thoughts about that?
No, I don't think the plan. I don't think the plan backfired. It would have backfired. It would have backfired if they would have actually removed him from office. That would have been the backfire.
Okay, so we're getting this. We've gotten this common theme running so far, that this was a kind of setup to keep Trump in power, even with the cooperation of the Democrats. That doesn't seem a little bit far-fetched to you?
Well, with somebody who is just listening to, you know, mainstream media and not thinking critically, you know, like, you know, we are here in this, you know, in this medium. Yeah, that would seem far-fetched to somebody who, you know, who doesn't, you know, who just, you know, parrots and listens to what the mainstream media says. But I know us Lead Stories listeners, we think a lot more critically than that.
All right, Henry, you put some more stuff on the table. Let's see how people react to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
From Mount Vernon, Lincoln, you're on the air.
Hi, you're
talking about the beginning of this recently concluded trial, so-called trial. What are your thoughts?
Yes, before I give you my thoughts, I have to say that I disagree with Ed. And my reason for saying that is, if we agree with Ed's reasoning, then we would have to also conclude that Hillary did not want to win the election, and that Hillary was really, it was a joke, and it was really a ploy to put Donald Trump in. We would have to actually go there. So I think that is fallacious. I think that this is the continuation of the coup which started from the two FBI agents, etc., Strokes, can't pronounce his name, and Lisa Page. And I think it's the continuation of the failure of the Russiagate, you know, trying to get him out by Russiagate. So they were actually looking for anything to indict him. And then, now, what complicated it was, when Trump came up with this, it's like playing chess. You have a strategy, but the person made a move, so you have to change your strategy. You know, so what happened was, when Trump made this disclosure, came upon on the Biden situation, that was a tinderbox. You know, and it, like, I spoke with a fellow I knew from Russia, actually, and long before a lot of this came out, he said to me, he said, "Link, it's about money laundering." And he said, "A lot of people know that it's about money laundering, and they're trying to cover for this money laundering that was occurring in Ukraine, you know." And he said, "A lot of us know about this, you know." And so I think that was going to be a big thing. So then they saw how they could twist it
and they knew about the emotional climate of the people who supported Hillary Clinton. They knew how emotionally upset they were. And people, I think people are not really giving credit to how disjointed this whole thing was about Hillary losing the election. Look at when, and I'm not digressing, look at when, but I mean, the most obvious...
Which means that you are digressing.
No,
you,
no, no.
You just want to make us aware that you're also aware. But go ahead.
No, I just want to substantiate something. Look at the most obvious election theft was that of Al Gore. It was so obvious that that was a theft. And even in the face of that, nobody was as disgruntled as when Hillary lost. People stopped speaking to each other. If they knew you were a Trump supporter or vice versa, they unfriended you, etc. And people still haven't recovered from this. People don't understand this. I mean, so the whole of this was really the continuation of the coup that they were trying to carry out against him. Now, you must remember, you know, both the CIA and the FBI is totally politicized. There is one faction of both the FBI and the CIA who still wants to overthrow him, and there's also that faction who embraces him. And I think we are ignoring all of that. And even in this particular forum, so many of us don't realize how our emotions are being guided, because I hear so many of us, we come to conclusions, and they're not objectively based. They're all subjectively, and we twist the information just to gratify the outcome that we would like. Look how we have ignored, what's his name, Steele, Christopher Steele. The Clintons actually paid for a foreign agent to investigate Trump. Have we all forgotten that? It was a foreign, Christopher Steele was from the MI6, and they used a British agent. That is a crime.
Yeah, and but we, I want but you we, to answer the question at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And how did this trial, as it began, what came to your mind? What you were observing about how this trial started.
It started as the attempt at a coup, the continuation of the attempt at a coup, as simply put. It's not complicated. It's as simple as that.
Trump was the subject of a coup attempt?
Yes. It the whole thing from the Russiagate, etc., and the attempted coups started even before he was inaugurated, and this is all a continuation, and they're still looking for other things. They're going to try to find other things to try to implicate him. And I have to tell you this, you know, I just want this to be clear for everyone to know. I am not a Trump supporter. I'm against what he's doing to Venezuela. I'm against the Central Park Five. You know, there's a lot of things that I disagree with him, but I am not going to watch people, the Clintons and the Obamas, hide behind Trump's mistake, because they have committed worse crimes than his. So, you know, the way I'm speaking, people might confuse it to think I'm protecting him. No, I don't have anything more against Trump than I have against them. As a matter of fact, I have more against them than against Trump, because they were pretending to be the messiahs of the people. And as a matter of fact, we should be glad about Trump because he's so transparent, whereas the others are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Wow.
Hello?
Hello, I'm listening.
Yeah, it is so. And I think when we discuss politics, we have to become so, even though you hear me getting passionate, I am still very objective. No matter how angry I get, I never lose objectivity. So even though you mean like I might raise my voice, etc., but I am still objective.
You would say, would I be wrong to summarize your position as saying that this alleged focus on Trump by the Democrats is a continuation of a plan to remove him, but it's really a coup?
Yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then, thank you so much. We're looking for a reaction as well. People will, don't be surprised if people react. Thank you very much, Lincoln, for your call today. From North Carolina, Liz, you're on the air. How did this, as it started out, what did it cause you to think?
It caused me to think of a time before I was alive when segregation, Reconstruction, all these things where, you know, the people in power had all the say, and even if you had a just cause, they just swept it under the rug and didn't take anything you had to say into consideration. Now, we all know that the person in the White House is a criminal. We do know that he's just a criminal who hasn't been caught, he's been caught, but he hasn't been able to be tried. And that's what I see is happening here, that they are just getting rid of any laws that would benefit the people and taking away any recourse that we have. You know, they're trying to take away our right to protest. They're doing things to push us to protest, but then they're taking away our rights to protest.
Okay, and I see your point at that level, but I want to ask you about, this was supposed to be a trial, putting the president in public to answer, or putting him on notice that he is answerable according to the articles of impeachment. He's answerable for obstruction of Congress and abuse of power. And these two articles of impeachment together constituted the charge against Donald Trump, with a lot of subsets of charges within those two charges, if you understand. So why would they go through the trouble of, why would the Democrats go through the trouble of pursuing impeachment and then a trial?
They knew they weren't going to win from the beginning. So as I look back on it, I think it is to play on our emotions.
Why did they know? Why would you say they knew from the beginning they weren't going to win? What gave you that feeling?
Well, they said it. The Senate will never convict. Mitch McConnell will never convict. So they felt that, or they had some inkling of it, and everybody along, they had, you know, the Republicans, they had, I don't know what's the right word. They had operatives along the whole process on the inside from the beginning to the end.
Okay, but I ask again, why would the Democrats, having an inkling, as you put it, having inside information that would lead toward people concluding that this was not a winnable fight, why would they proceed with a trial?
To play on our emotions and rile the people against Trump and try to push them in the direction of the person they approve of.
That's interesting. Did you hear other callers today posit the same kind of thought that you just did?
Yes, I heard one gentleman.
Does that sound, did that seem unusual to you?
It did, because for a long time I didn't believe that. I'm one of, I don't know, I'm somewhere between, I don't know how to describe myself. I'm one of those people who vote because, you know, that's what I was always taught, that I was supposed to vote, and that's the thing that I'm supposed to do. And, you know, so I always voted, but I'm, you know, there's really nobody to vote for. And I used to live in the city, and now I live in North Carolina. And living in North Carolina, I feel like I live in a bubble. It's like pulling teeth to get any information here. The same, if you missed the news at 6 o'clock in the morning, you could see the same thing at 12 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. It's very hard to get information. There's no information in the paper. Everybody here, even when it comes time to election, you don't know when the election is. You don't know. You know, they change every time you have some type of election. They change where you have to go to vote.
So let me ask you,
who the candidates are. If you're not looking online or something, you see signs, and then the election is, you know, 2 months away. So it's very hard here for me.
Were you, before this whole thing, were you more leading toward the Democratic Party than the Republican or any other party?
Well, I was a Democrat, but I always wanted to change to an independent. And
okay.
When Hillary Clinton came into play.
Based on what has happened, do you now have a different attitude toward the Democratic Party with this trial?
I had it before the trial, but it solidified with the trial. I was trying to think of a way, really, I think what maybe we should do is, you know, we should register for whatever party and choose the candidate as black people or independent people or people of color or people of a different mindset. We should register for either party and vote in the primaries and pick who we want. And I think if enough of us do that, we will get people that we want.
Well, thank you for calling and contributing today. Thank you so much, Liz. E from Thanks. Edgewater, you're on the air. How did this, in your view?
Doing your trees.
How you doing? How did this start out from your perspective? What is the beginning of the saga?
The beginning of the saga is I didn't call for that, but I mean like I've been saying from the start, they groom Donald Trump to be this person that to take all the blame, to overshadow all the other politicians. We seem to think Al Green was this great guy. We don't know nothing about Al Green. What do we really know about him? We don't know anything about all of these people. They're all criminals.
No. You can't say blanket things like that. You know that. Al Green is a congressman from Texas who has long been associated with the civil rights movement and who, on his own initiative, presented what he proposed were the reasons that the president should be impeached. And he delineated every single one of his charges, if you would. And okay, he did it twice.
I understand. I've been corrected. I shouldn't have mentioned his name because I don't know enough about him. And I'm sure he was trying his best to do the right thing. But as far as when Lincoln calls and he keeps talking about Hillary Clinton, that's why the Democrats are mad at Trump, are mad, so mad, because Hillary didn't. If you know Hillary, right, Beatrice? You know her deep down inside. You know what she's about. I know her. We all know about Hillary Clinton. If she wanted to be president, she would have wiped the floor with Donald Trump during those debates. Look what she did. She got herself from being impeached in the White House.
We're not talking about Hillary Clinton. We're talking about, in your view, How did this trial, this impeachment trial, this whole move that has occupied national attention for several weeks now, how did it start? What was the reason, in your view?
I don't have really one reason. I there's millions of reasons why
so
this
tell us
is going
on. Tell us your top three.
Top three. There's things going on in the world that we don't know about, and it's hard to talk about them on the air because we're going by what we know. We're going by what we're told by the news stories and the major media. If we're going by that, then we're in the dark. So, I mean, how can you make heads or tails of anything? It's all ridiculous. None of this makes any sense. It's just designed to get him through these first 4 years, to get him into the next 4 years, so they can do whatever they're doing behind the scenes. They keep us busy with Trump because he's this caricature of himself, this grand boobah, this grand tyrant that everybody's afraid of, that doesn't like him, and everybody loves him that likes him. You know, they think that he's their hero. He was. They put him in the wrestling ring with Vince McMahon. They gave him a show for 12 years called The Apprentice. Now he's the president. It's so ridiculous. I can't even believe I'm in the same world that I was in 10 years ago. I feel like I woke up in an opposite universe or something, where everybody believes in this nonsense. It's just like, I can't even call the man the president, because it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's just ridiculous stuff that we're being victimized by, and we seem to enjoy it. We seem to enjoy this nonsense. But
all right,
it's definitely
Heath,
not.
Thanks for contributing today.
Sorry, I can't be more concise.
That's okay. You did well.
The Hillary thing. Because if Hillary wanted to be president, she'd be president. Don't worry about it. She wipes the floor with everybody, and we know it. She was there to make sure he became president, because he covers up for them, and he covers up for everyone.
All right.
Epstein,
thank you so much for your
Bill Clinton,
today.
All of them. He's covering.
Thank you so much. Well, we're close to the end of the program. And the idea was to, this matter having ended, of course we know there is no end to it, but we're talking about in strict time, it's over, the trial is over, a verdict has been rendered, and that verdict has found Donald Trump innocent of all charges. Okay. We will get to that later on in the course of this four-part series, but I wanted you to know how valuable it is to get your insights, because you're educating us from your point of view as to what happened here. We know what the major media is saying. They give us every single day an analysis, and we don't hear other points of view. They all seem to be on the same page with it. But I'm concerned, because this is why I do this program, I'm concerned about what regular people are thinking and what brings them to the opinions that they have. Could they justify it, or do they have a special gut feeling? We don't know, but it is important to get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So I'm glad and I'm thankful that you're making the effort to do just that, to offer an opinion.